If you would, take your Bibles and open them to the book of Psalms, Psalm 116. Psalm 116. If you have your place in the scriptures and are able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Psalm 116 and verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the comfort in your word. Lord, we thank you for the direction you give us, for the help, for the hope, Lord, that we have through the word of God and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you for that blessed hope. Lord, I just pray that you'll meet with us in a special way tonight. God, I don't know. Lord, I'm still grieving, and I know my daughter is. Lord, there could be several here that are grieving the loss of a loved one tonight. Lord, I don't know why you put the message on my heart tonight, but I trust it'll be a help to somebody. Lord, have your will and way in the service. Speak to our hearts, we pray. I need you now, Lord. I just pray you touch me. I just want to be a blessing to these folks. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Title of the message tonight, When a Child of God Dies. And folks, we all deal with that. I mean, either a spouse, a parent, a child, a close friend, it happens. And, you know, the world will tell you what to do when you're troubled and when you're going through tough times and when you're grieving. This precious book has the answers. It has the answers we need. This is more important than what any psychologist can share with you. I'll tell you, wow. I'm so glad I have a perfect Bible. I'm so glad I have my King James Bible. And I'm glad that I find what I need in this book. And I want to challenge you to read your Bible. Amen. Get close to it. Make it a part of you. It'll help you through the difficult times. And when you need answers, go to your knees in prayer and grab your Bible and spend extra time in the Bible. You'll get the right answers there. Okay, you go to the world, they'll give you answers, but God's Word have the right answers. When a child of God dies, as precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Can I advise you here this evening, don't begrudge God of someone who is precious in his sight. Debbie was precious to the Lord. And the Lord chose to take his precious daughter home to be with him. Now, who am I to turn to God and say, God, that's not fair? You know, you ever stop and think about this? She was his way before she was ever mine. He loaned her to me, and he gave her to me for 38 and a half years, plus our time of courting and all before we were married. I had a lot of wonderful time with her, but she was God's, and God says, I'd like to have her home. He needed her for a while. Amen. Don't begrudge God of someone who is precious, in his sight. Many have said, it seems like God always takes the best ones. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. It could be, but I don't know. She's precious to him. Amen. And she was precious to me and still is. But I'm not gonna begrudge God of his precious daughter. I want to look at several things that I see in Scripture that might help you. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. First thing I want you to notice is that when a child of God dies, he sees the glory of God. Here is a record of Stephen as he was stoned and he went to heaven in Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 54. The Bible says, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, I notice, first of all, he said, look, if you look at verse 55, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. Now, according to the Word of God, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay, his normal position is to be seated at the right hand of the Father. I believe that God gave that first martyr a standing ovation that day. Stephen was serving God. Stephen wasn't afraid to speak out for God, and what a tremendous example. I hope that if you and I are ever called upon to give our lives for the cause of Christ, that we would be able to do as Stephen did, to go ahead and stand tall for the Lord, and the Lord would give us that comfort. The Lord would give us that ability, that strength, the grace to accept what we would have to accept as Stephen did. But I believe the Lord stood up to honor Stephen that day. Now, I don't see in Scripture where everybody gets that. I don't know. I have an idea that Stephen was the only one to ever receive that standing ovation. However, I noticed something else there in verse 55. It says he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. He saw the glory of God. Now, I believe that when a saint goes home to be with the Lord, I believe as they are dying, they see the glory of God. And that's a precious time to that dying saint as they see God in his glory. And it's like, wow. You say, well, where do you get that from? Well, obviously from this passage, but even today, many who have witnessed a Christian leave this world. Now, I have not seen this. I have not been around that many. As an evangelist, I haven't been at the bedside of a dying saint that often. All right, some of you that are pastoring may have seen that more than I have. But I've been told that quite often the Christian as they are leaving this world or shortly before, they might raise their arms toward heaven. They might look up and there'll be a gleam in their eye and maybe a smile come on their face. A peaceful look comes over them just as they're, I believe they see the glory of God. I've heard testimonies of folks who have laid flat on the bed and couldn't move for a very long time. And just before they leave this world, actually rise up in the bed, their arms outstretched, with a peaceful look or a smile on their face, and then the spirit leaves and they fall down, the body falls down on the bed. They saw the glory of God. Amen. It's a precious time for that saint as they leave this world and the Lord comes. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God's there to comfort and to help during that time. And I believe that comfort that he provides at that time for that Christian is as they pass through that valley. The shadow of death, they see the glory of God. Hey, I can't spend too much time on this, but you remember Moses. Moses got to see a glimpse of God's glory, a limited glimpse of God's glory. But I believe as the Christian leaves this world, they see God in all his glory. It's like, wow, wow. By the way, a lost man, quite a different story. The title of this message, I'm not sure if I think I told you, When a Child of God Dies. When a Child of God Dies.
dies, but when a lost man dies, when a child of the devil dies, their story is quite different. They don't have a peaceful look on their face. No. It's a look of horror and terrified, sometimes screaming out in fear and in terror. No! No! And they go silent. I don't know what they see, but it's not the glory of God.
Go with me to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Or ever the silver cord be loosed. When a child of God dies, the silver cord is loosed. You see, the silver cord, that's that connection between the soul and the body. All right, I would liken it to a baby. When a lady gives birth to a child, you have that umbilical cord that connects the child to the mother. And once that cord is severed, that child could never go back into the womb. And you say, well, of course the child couldn't go back into the womb anyway after it was born. Well, I've been told. That in extreme cases when that child or the mother may need some type of surgery, sometimes they've actually been able to lift that baby out of the womb, being careful not to damage the umbilical cord, and perform surgery on either the baby or the mother as the need would require, place that baby back in the womb until that baby is full term. That blows my mind that God has given the doctors the wisdom and the ability to do some of these things. That's amazing to me. But once the cord is cut, there's no going back to the womb. Once the silver cord is loosed, you don't return to the body. Now, some have talked about an out-of-body experience. You hear people talk about that from time to time. In fact, Paul speaks of someone that he knew that may have had an out-of-body experience. Paul says, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. He makes that statement twice. Wasn't sure whether that person was actually in the body or out of the body, but they saw things in heaven. But had the cord been loosed, they couldn't have come back to the body. I've heard stories of folks who say that they saw things, that they had died and left the body and came. The body didn't die, okay? Maybe the heart stopped beating, but there wasn't death. That cord was not loosed. But they came back to the body. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I heard testimony of one man that said that he was in the operating room. They were operating on his body, and his soul. And by the way, you aren't the body. The real you is the soul. Okay, you can have the body. Okay, but when you die and the body goes in the grave, the body goes in the casket. You're not there. Okay, you're in heaven. Alright, so that the individual, they say that their soul came out of the body and they hovered above the body during the surgery and observed that doctors and nurses working on his body. And then came back to the body and told the body. I don't know if it really happened or not. I mean, maybe they were hallucinating. I'm not gonna say it was true or wasn't true. I wasn't there, okay? I didn't experience it. But once the cord is cut, You don't return. All right. So the silver cord is loosed. All right. Now, the body cannot live without a soul. You remember when God created man, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. The body was dead, just a piece of clay, just like the body is when the soul leaves, just a piece of clay. All right. So, all right. Go with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16 and verse 22. You remember the story of Lazarus and the beggar? You know, we're going to pick up verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Notice that the beggar, Lazarus, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. When a child of God dies, he is carried by the angels. You see, you don't make that journey alone. Amen. You don't make that journey to heaven alone. When
Lazarus died, it says the angels came and they took him to Abraham's bosom. Now, of course, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but of course that was Old Testament. All right, that was before Christ was crucified, and after, and at that time, when a child of God died, they'd go to Abraham's bosom, sometimes they're also referred to as paradise. But then after the blood was applied on the mercy seat, the Lord Jesus, he led captivity captive. He took those saints that were in that holy place and took them to heaven. Because you see, the sin hadn't been completely paid for yet. All right, the blood hadn't not been applied on the mercy seat. All right, they were guaranteed a place in heaven, but they couldn't go yet because their sin hadn't been really paid for yet. All right, so at any rate, can you imagine Lazarus trying to find Abraham's bosom? Now Abraham's bosom was in the heart of the earth somewhere. All right, hell was also in the heart of the earth, but there was a great gulf fixed between the two. All right, and how do you get there? All right, now how would you know how to get to heaven? Well, we know it's out in space somewhere. So don't you worry. All right, when a child of God dies, he's not looking for heaven. Anybody seen heaven? Floating around in the galaxies and passing the star. And here comes a space. You know, looking for heaven. Preparing to leave, okay? We knew it wasn't going to be long. And Amanda probably remembers this. I told her, I says, Debbie, in a little while, the angels are going to come take you to Jesus. And they did. And they did. And said, now, by the way, I didn't see Debbie rise up or make any facial expression or anything like that as she looked. I believe she saw the glory of God, but she had been sleeping for 2 days prior, and there was no expression. It was a very, very peaceful passing. I will say that. Very peaceful. But anyway, the angels came and escorted her into the presence of Jesus. Amen. That's so cool to me. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Verse 6, therefore we are confident, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now notice verse 6.
Therefore, we are always confident that knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Okay, the soul is today, my soul is present in the body. All right, Debbie's soul is absent from the body. Now, when you're absent from the body, Paul says you're present with the Lord, okay? Debbie is in a better situation than I'm in because she is actually present with the Lord because she's absent from the body. I'm still in the body, okay? I'm still dealing with this flesh, and she's beyond the flesh, and she's with the Lord. See, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When a child of God dies, he's absent from the body, but glory to God, he's present with the Lord. Now, the Bible doesn't speak of any intermediate place. All right, no saint of God is going to go and spend some time in limbo or purgatory in hopes that someday they might get to heaven. No. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. All right, Lazarus, okay, when he died, he went directly to Abraham's bosom. He didn't go to any temporary holding place, all right? Didn't go to a holding tank. He went directly to Abraham's bosom. when the thief on the cross, when he asked the Lord for salvation, Lord, what did the Lord tell him? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. All right. Well, where'd he go? He went to paradise. Did he go to purgatory? No, he went to paradise. All right. Then the Lord that very same day also went to paradise and took Lazarus. I mean, Lazarus too, but took that thief on the cross to heaven. Wow. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. And I love that. I am so glad. I am so glad that I don't have to worry about where I'm going to be for a while in hopes that maybe somebody spend enough money on my behalf and pray enough on my behalf that somehow I can get to heaven. I know when I leave this world, I'm going to heaven. And I know that my dear wife, when she left this world, she went directly into the presence of God. Now you say, well, Brother Black, now wait a minute. You said that she had to be transported by the angels. Okay, well, maybe there was a brief delay. Okay, but the Bible says absent, present. If you've ever done a study on angels, they can flat move out. I mean, to tell you, they can cover some space in a very, very short period of time. You do a study on it sometime. They can move fast. I honestly don't believe you could measure the amount of time it took for the angels to escort Debbie to heaven. I don't think that time was measurable anyway. Oh, I'll tell you what, absent from the body is present with the Lord. Thank God for that. How should we react? We saw what actually takes place when our loved one passes. We're still here. Praise God, she got an escort to heaven. She's with the Lord. The aches and pains are left behind, you know, all of that. But I'm still here. What do I do? What do you do? Well, let's go back to this old book again, see what God says, all right? Go with me, if you would, to the book of Job. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 and verse 18. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, verse 19, Job chapter 1, verse 19, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are all dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. First, I want to notice, how should we react when the Lord takes our loved one? Well, Job mourned his loss. Job mourned his loss. It's okay to mourn. I miss my Debbie. I miss her terribly. And I still mourn. And there are times that I'll begin to cry.
Yeah, it's tough. I miss her. I miss her greatly. She used to go with me. She'd be sitting out there when I'm preaching. When I'm singing, she's on the piano accompanying me, or I'm sitting there listening to her beautiful voice sing before I preach. I miss her. And I mourn. And Job mourned when he lost his children that day. It was a tough time. It's okay to mourn. Don't be embarrassed by that. If you shed a few tears, it's all right. It's all right. Job did. But let's look on. Verse 20. Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head. This is the renting of the mantle, renting the clothes, rending the clothes and shaving the beard. That was a sign of mourning in Job's day. But then notice what he did. And fell down upon the ground and worshiped. So Job mourned his loss. Oh yeah, Job mourned his loss. But then Job worshiped his God. Because God is always worthy of our worship. Even when things don't go the way we want them to go, God is worthy of our worship. And Job worshiped the Lord. Can I encourage you? When the Lord takes a loved one home, worship God. He's worthy. You can praise God for some blessings. You know, there were a lot of blessings in Debbie's passing. Oh, a lot of heartache, a lot of grief, a lot of sadness. But I reflect on 38 and a half years with my sweetheart. I reflect on our four beautiful children, my youngest sitting right there. Praise God. Our 10 grandchildren. I reflect on the good times we had, as I mentioned, singing together, serving God together. And had God not given me my dear wife, I don't know if I would have ever experienced those things. Wow, thank you, Lord. You've been so good to me. And look on. Verse 21. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job never blamed God. Job never shook his fist at God. Job never got angry at God over God's decision to take his 10 children. Never once did Job charge God foolish. For us to charge God with something that we don't like is foolishness.
That's right.
Job never did that once. Not once. What do I do? I hope that I can follow the recommendation from Job. So far, I've got to tell you, by God's grace, don't pat me on the back. By God's grace, I'm following Job's recommendation. God is worthy of my worship. Well, I'm honored, but I'm not charged God foolishly. I respect God's decision. Am I happy about God's decision? I'm not happy about it. I want it no longer. I wish He was still with me. But I accept God's decision because I know He's always right. I'm not going to get mad at God. Okay, I'm going to trust my Lord. Learn to trust God. Learn to trust Him now.
Amen.
Don't wait until tragedy strikes. Don't wait till heartache comes and say, oh, now what do I do? No, learn to trust God now. You're going to need it someday.
That's right.
Learn to trust Him. And then when the things come that you don't understand, well, one thing you can rule out, God didn't make a mistake, because I trust Him.
Yes.
I might make a mistake. Your pastor might make a mistake. There might be a time that he'll stand in the pulpit and he'll make a decision that was a wrong decision. But God will never make a wrong decision.
Amen.
He's God, and you can trust Him. Go with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12,
course, David loses a child. 2 Samuel 12, beginning in verse 15. And Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him and raised him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself when we tell him that the child is dead?" Verse 19, but when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, "What is this thing that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Now I want you to notice, before I get to the main point I want to bring here, according to that last verse, David said, that child can never come back to me. I realize that, but I'm going to go to him. I can go to him, but he'll not come back to me. David knew that he would see that child again. David knew that child was in heaven, and he would see that child again. When babies die, they always go to heaven. Okay, they always go directly to heaven. All right, they're not accountable for their sin. They're too young to be accountable for their sin. They're too young to understand their sinful condition, their need of a Savior, and that Christ paid for their sin. So they immediately go to be with the Lord. All right, so that child was with the Lord. But what did David do? How did David handle the grief, the difficult time when his child died? Well, with confidence that David would see his child again, he worshiped God and then broke his fast. Look with me here in verse 20. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came to the house of the Lord and worshiped. Just like Job did when David lost his child, he worshiped God. God is worthy of worship. God is worthy. And so what could he do but worship his Lord? Oh God, give us the strength and the sense to worship you at all times. He's always worthy of our worship. He's always worthy of our praise. David worshiped the Lord. And notice he had been fasting. There at the end of the verse. He came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. He'd been fasting, okay, but he says, "You know, it's time to get a bite to eat." What I'm trying to say is, David moved forward with his life.
That's right.
He didn't stay. He didn't. He worshipped the Lord. He mourned. He fasted. He had a hard time. He was mourning over the condition of that baby and praying that God would heal him. But there came a point where he says, "You know what? It's time to move on. It's time." Not that he would not grieve again. Not that he would never remember the child again. Not that he would never shed a tear again. But you got to go on. And I want you to notice something else that David did here. He anointed himself, changed his apparel. I mean, he took a shower, got cleaned up. And it says he came to the house of the Lord. David, when David's baby died, David didn't go home and find a closet somewhere, find his bed and lay on the bed and say, "Oh, woe is me." No. David got cleaned up, got a right knee, and went to the house of God. He worshiped the Lord. He spent some time with his friends. You see, you folks are an encouragement to me. I love being around Christian friends. I love being around other folks.
been in, where I've had somebody come up to me and encourage me and maybe share with me that they lost a loved one and what God did, maybe they lost a spouse. And another evangelist that I met went through the same thing at about the same age. He was about the same age as I am when he lost his wife and how God blessed him. And he's been an evangelist, my goodness, another 15 years or so since then. And still going forward for God. And that encouraged me. And folks, being around God's people, that's where you want to be. Maybe you went to the house of God and worship. Don't stay
home. You come to the house of God. Amen. You come and get around your Christian friends and you move on with your life. Go to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 24. I've never lost a child like Job, like David. Many of you probably have. I've never experienced what you've experienced. But I know God's grace is always sufficient. I know God was there for you. Amen. Ezekiel experienced exactly what I went through. But see, all of this, we can cross-reference all of these examples because they all work for, they're all examples of someone who lost somebody very dear to them. Here in Ezekiel 24 and verse 18, Ezekiel, the man of God, the prophet. So I spoke unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. Ezekiel continued serving God. Ezekiel, the man of God, his wife died in the evening. And the next morning, he got up. And he served God. Can I say, when a child of God dies, Christian, let me challenge you. Keep serving God. Keep serving God. You say, well, Brother Black, Ezekiel was a preacher. You're a preacher. I mean, a preacher's got to do that. No. Remember I said all of these examples apply to all of us. You see, preachers are human too. We're no different. We have a calling to preach. You all serve the Lord in other ways. But I hope we're all serving God. Amen? I hope we're all serving the Lord. We've talked a lot about this week. If you're not serving God, you get with your preacher and find out a place you can serve. Now, you know, you may not be able to teach a class. You may not be able to drive the bus. You may not, there may be some things you can't do. But I'll tell you what, sometimes, you know, we have a few seniors, and sometimes seniors can't get out and they can't walk down the sidewalk and knock on doors. Some things they can't do anymore. But I tell you, seniors have an opportunity to serve that a lot of folks can't in one area, a lot of folks can't. And that's hours on their knees in prayer. And maybe say, "Well, I can't get on my knees." You can pray from a seated position. You can spend hours in the recliner talking to Jesus. Amen. Talking to the Lord on behalf of the preacher, on behalf of the Sunday school teacher, on behalf of the bus worker. See, what you're involved. You're involved in the pulpit ministry. You're involved in the bus ministry. You're involved in the Sunday school ministry. You're involved in the music ministry. Why? Because you're praying for all these folks. You see. Every one of us can find a place to serve. But when our loved one leaves this world, we continue serving. We move on. We continue doing the work of God. Let me ask you, what do you think your loved one would say? What would Debbie say? What would Debbie say if I says, "Oh, I don't know. Maybe I took the advice of some folks that have talked to me and says, but like you probably ought to take a little time off." What would Debbie say if I says, "Oh, Debbie, Lord, I'm just done with this preaching stuff. I got to take a year off. I got to take a few months off. I don't think I can do it anymore. I can't do it. Forget the gospel tracts. I'm not going to carry a tract. I'm not going to be talking to anybody about the Lord. I just can't do it. I mean, I'm grieving. I mean, honestly, I'm grieving. I can't work for God now." What would she say?
What do y'all think she'd say?
She'd say, get up, Rod, and get busy. Do something for God. That's exactly what she'd say. She's in heaven. She has perfect understanding now, okay? She knows that God will be with me, that God will help me, and she knows that there's a huge blessings in serving the Lord. She knows all that stuff better than she did here. And you've heard some of her music. You know she had a pretty good understanding. I shared that poem with you the other day. She has pretty good understanding. I had it here, but in heaven, oh my. And she realizes the splendor of heaven. And she realizes that there's so many folks that aren't going to make it. And their only hope is if Rod Black gets up out of that chair and hands them a gospel tract, that he gets behind the pulpit and preaches the word of God. The only hope some have is if Rod Black gets busy in the work of God. And the only hope that some folks are going to have is if you get busy in the work of God. You find out what God has for you to do. It may not be preaching, but you find out the work that God has for you to do, and you stay in the work. We got to stay in the work. Souls are in the balance, folks. We've got to stay in the work. Ezekiel continued serving God. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1. 2 Corinthians 1, and we're going to begin in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our consolation, also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. All right, basically, if to sum this up, Paul the Apostle said we should allow God and our Christian friends to comfort us. That's basically what he's saying here. I mean, there's some tongue twisters. Paul's writing sometimes they're a little difficult to follow, okay? But you go back on your own time later on and read through that a few times, you'll come to that same conclusion. Paul's saying God wants to be the God of all comfort. He wants to comfort you. But how does God comfort? Not in power, does he comfort? He ministers to the soul, and you feel his presence, you feel that warmth from the Lord. But I'll tell you one big way he comforts, as I mentioned just a little while ago, Ezekiel went to the house of God. He gives comfort through our Christian faith.
That's right.
That's the big way God comforts. And you're not going to get that comfort. And you say, oh, I can't go to church. I'm the one that's I can't be around people. I just can't stand to be around people. I might cry. We want to cry. Maybe the church them to cry. They're hurting too. All right? They may not be hurting the same way you have, but everybody's hurting. Everybody's going through something. So go ahead and cry a little bit. It'll be all right. And then they notice that tear in your eye. And they begin to have some compassion. And they put their arm around you and say, hey, it's all right. It's all right. I love you. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I've been through a hard time, too. I lost my loved one, too. And you see, we help one another. Okay? That's God's plan. That's God's plan. Allow God to comfort you. He wants to comfort you. Allow your Christian friends to encourage you. They want to do that. They'll do that for you. And as they do that for you, and you enjoy the comfort that God gives, you know it's just a matter of time. Somebody else is going to be going through a rough time. Somebody else is going to lose a loved one. And the first thing comes to your mind is, I went through that. God was there for me. My friends were there for me. I got something to see. I got to make a phone call. I got to encourage them. They were so kind to me. I got to witness it with pop-up and let them know that I love them and I'm praying. Let them know if there's anything I can do to help. I would gladly do. Paul says, allow God and your Christian friends to comfort you.
You need that. Don't try to go it alone. You'll be miserable if you try to go it alone. No, you let others help. God, that's God's plan. In Matthew, you don't have to turn to it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4, the Bible says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I believe there is a special level of comfort that God gives to the mourning. Why did he pick that out? Those that mourn, they shall be comforted. Now, we all get comfort. God comforts me when I'm not mourning. Okay? There have been times that I've received comfort from God.
There have been times I've been discouraged and God comforted me. But when I mourn, I believe there's a special comfort that God has reserved for people who mourn. Isn't God good? Amen. Isn't God good? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. If we handle things scripturally, okay, if we handle it according to the word of God, I believe that it can be precious to us as well. I didn't say we're not going to miss it, but we will experience things that we would have never experienced. God's got something special for you. Just as God had something special for Debbie as she left and she saw the glory of God and got that transport by the angels. She's ridden with me, but I never drove that fast. Slow down, Ron. I've never driven that fast. it was a special time for her. Paul looked for, actually, it seems like Paul looked forward to heaven. Paul says, I'll stay here because it's needful for you. But he longed for heaven. Amen. David understood that God was going to be with him and he would go with him through the valley of the shadow of death. It's a precious time for the saint. It's a precious time for the Lord. And Christian, we're all going to go through it. Okay. Either way, I don't have my Debbie anymore. Okay. But I choose to continue in the work of God, enjoy the blessings of God, and not get bitter against God. That's my choice. I think I've made the right choice. Can I share one real quick thing with you? And we'll wrap it up here. But the night before Debbie passed, we knew it was coming. We knew it was close. Anytime hospice had been in and out of the home on a daily basis, and the nurse came by and we just had an idea it was going to be real soon, and so she told us a few things and how to prepare for that and everything, and got a chance to witness to her a little bit that night. Well, the next morning Debbie passed. I think it was right around 6 o'clock or so. I don't recall exactly what time it was, but the next morning that same nurse had to come out. Somebody had to come out to verify that she'd left. And she did her work. And then got a chance to talk to her a little bit. Think about a little bit about what we said last night. Did you get a chance to read that tract I gave you? Always have tracts in your pocket. I think I got some in the car. And no, the nurse has already left. You missed your chance. No, have them in your pocket. And I got to talk with her that morning. I had the privilege of leading that nurse to the Lord. Can I tell you that was one of the worst, most glorious days I've ever experienced. My wife just left. Oh my goodness, I'm grieving, but I'm rejoicing because somebody else just entered the family of God. And God used Debbie's situation and used me to give her the gospel. Now, Debbie gets that credit for that one for sure. Okay, I'm not putting that notch on my gun. That's her soul. Amen. I'm not going to steal that one from her. But you see, you go on, and God blesses, and God gives peace, and God gives comfort. I don't know what y'all might be facing. I don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. But can I tell you, God will be there for you. He'll be there for you. You just keep coming to church. You keep reading your Bible. You keep trusting God. It'll be all right. Let's stand with heads bowed.
Father, God, I want to thank you for the comfort that you give in your word. Lord, I want to thank you for the insight that you give us on what happens when a child of God dies. Lord, we know that'll be us someday. Now, Lord, I pray that everyone here knows that they're going to heaven. Lord, it's quite different when a child of the devil dies. Absent from the body is present with the Lord for the Christian. But that rich man in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torments. The angels came to escort Debbie to heaven. I can only assume that the demons escort a child of the devil to hell. God, I pray that everyone here tonight knows they're on their way to heaven. And God, may we determine in our hearts that we're going to continue serving you regardless of what comes our way. Father, I ask that you take full control of this invitation. Lord, may we do business with you as you've spoken to us tonight. And we'll thank you. In Christ's name we pray.